The message that the Lord led me to for this Sunday school hour is on Psalm 37. So if you would, go ahead and turn your Bible to the 37th Psalm. This is one of my favorite Psalms. I have remembered it ever since I was in Bible college. You know how some things just stick out in your mind? Let me read the first five or six, that really have gripped my heart, and every time I look at it, brings to memory of that. Beginning verse 1, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass." And I wish I could read the whole chapter. I would encourage you to go home today and read this entire chapter. It's 40 verses, and I don't like to read. I'm not that good of a reader. I can understand what I'm reading. Sometimes people can't understand what I'm saying. But this is a very, very heart-touching psalm, and it's good for yesterday, today, tomorrow, and forever. It has things in there for us in our Christian life. And in verse 1, 7, and 8, we see this encouragement to fret not. Fret means to worry. We need not to worry. We need, as Christians, we need to realize, and even the folks in Sullivan that are saved, that their houses were blown away, and everything like that, they belong to God, and God never made a mistake. We don't know the purpose in it, and perhaps we never will know the purpose in it until we get to heaven. One thing we don't know, too, we know that Satan is the god of this present world, and we don't know how much latitude God gives Satan. We know that Satan can only go so far and do so much. And then God says, "That's enough, Lucifer. Back up, stop, and don't do that." And he has no choice but to quit. Not like children, but say, I want to do that. No, when God says stop, he stops. And with this tragedy, we don't know if God orchestrated it or if Satan did. But it makes no difference in our lives. And I want to take what happened and compare it to things that happen in our life. Fret not. Fret not. Do not worry. Just like the whole Bible has taught, thou shalt and thou shalt not. So this psalm includes the fret nots. We need to fret not about personal tragedy. We feel sorry for the people down there, and our hearts are broken. Some of the places that maybe we used to go, Catacorner probably got blown away. And some other places down there that maybe you have some kind of an attachment to, maybe some relatives. There were a few people that were killed. I've heard no names. I don't know who they are. But personal problems come. We need not to fret over it. God allowed it. And when problems come in our life, don't fret about personal problems. Realize this, we belong to God. And what happens in my life, God knew about it yesterday before it ever happened. So we need to fret not about personal problems, fret not about public problems, like the tornado and various things like that. Chuck, you don't need to fret about North Carolina basketball games and things like that. They're going to come and go. There's going to be good years and there's going to be bad years. And public things are going to happen, and some things we like and enjoy. But don't fret yourself over things like that. Don't fret yourself over political things. In this day and age, that'd be easy to do. I mean, all you got to do is listen to the news. That's one of the reasons I don't listen to the news anymore. Very, very little do I know about what's going on in public and political life right now, except evil and wickedness. Doesn't have any effect on me. I still belong to God. I'm His. And whatever He does, He may bring judgment on America, but that judgment's not on me. Even if I go through the trials and tribulations, that judgment is not on me, because I'm one of His children. And God loves His children. He's going to look out for the best of us. So today we look at how not to fret and worry about things. And that's what this message is about. So as many are fretting and worrying about what's happened down in Sullivan, a tragedy, the last one that hit was 1949 in Shelburne. And I didn't move there until 1951. But this is the first major tornado we've had in, 70 years or so? And I'd say we've been pretty lucky. Now, I don't know if you watch the weather. I always feel kind of like I'm God's protected child. Because in Himera, I read about the weather in Terre Haute, and it'd be terrible. I read about the weather in Knox County and down there. And they can have, and it seems like we're in a valley that sort of comes this way. So I always praise God for that. And don't worry about it. But you know how I handle bad weather? I just stay inside, make myself a nice hot meal, and don't worry about it. And I know you can't all do that. But how when things come up that people would normally worry about, how do you handle them? Number one, trust in the Lord. Verse 3. Trust in the Lord and do good. I thought we just had trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land. So just continue doing God's will, and don't worry about the circumstances surrounding your life, your town, your city, or anything else. This is a personal resolve. You have to have confidence. How? In yourself? That's what the world trying to teach now, worldly confidence. All this public education now, the kids need to be built up. They need to have confidence in themselves. No, we need to be put down. We need to have confidence in God. Not in ourselves, but in God and His Word. Some people just naturally are upbeat and positive. Some people are not. I don't know why the difference, but I put all my trust and confidence in God and His Word. So when things come up, I don't fret about it. I don't worry about it. Things just go on. Your decision should be, I will trust in the Lord no matter what becomes or what confronts me. I will trust in the Lord. Just like little kids, when they scrape their knee or something, they come around, Mommy, Mommy. And what's Mommy do? Clean it off, put a Band-Aid on it, and send them right back out, do the same thing again. And that's what God does for us. He will clean us up. But it said, I will trust in the Lord and do good. Realize He is sovereign and is in total control of everything, even the weather. Now, whether this was brought on by Satan or whether it was brought on by God, That's not for me to know. That's between God and Satan. We know there's a battle going on between God and Satan. Don't think Satan just sitting on the sideline waiting for his day to be cast into the lake of fire. He's in a battle right now for your mind, for your heart, for your life, for your soul, if he can get his hands on it and keep it. But God is sovereign, and when we trust in God, we know that we're on the winning side. We may not know what tomorrow holds, but we know who holds tomorrow. Amen? And that being said, I don't fret about things. If my house is blown away, and it could be, another tornado might be following. If my house is blown away, I hope I'm in it. I hope I'm blown away with it. I'll be that much closer to heaven. I say that facetiously. I wouldn't want that to happen to me nor to anyone else. But if it did, I want to be ready for it. If I'm walking across the street and a car hits me, I want to be ready to meet the Lord no matter what the circumstances. If I grow another year or two or three older and I die in a hospital bed, I want to be prepared to meet God. And I don't fret over what's going on in life. So trust in the Lord. Secondly, to avoid fretting and worrying, we must delight ourselves in the Lord. Look at verse 4. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Delight thyself. Delight means to enjoy. Getting up and coming to church, it's not a chore. There were times in my life that I thought it was. But the older I've got, I come. You normally, by the time most of you get here, you see me sitting in that chair on the back side. I come at least 15 to 35, 40 minutes early in church. Very seldom am I late. If I'm not a half hour early, generally I'm late wherever I'm going, and so on. But delight yourself in the Lord. When our delight is in him and his desire becomes ours, then he delights in giving us our delights. Let me read that again. When our delight is in God, and his desires become ours, then he delights in giving us our delights, because our delights are what are God's delights. And that becomes the delight of our heart. Now, in our life, when things go wrong, friends, if we lived on the south side of Sullivan and our house was blown away, we would probably ask this question: why, God? Why me? Why did this happen in my life right now? Why did? And you know, we do, all of us do that. Don't say you don't. We all do that when things go wrong. Sometimes our first thought: God, why? Why did you let this happen? And so on. In eternity, we will see why. Because in tragedy, some will wake up to the knowledge of God. Now, we don't see it as much in this day and age as in early America and maybe old America. But in early America, whenever there was any kind of a tragedy in a city, where did the people migrate to? The local church. And they came together in the church because they were seeking God's blessings on themselves and on whatever tragedy it was. Today, people point a finger at God and say, why'd you let this happen? Maybe let it happen to slap some people in the face and make them wake up. And hopefully that through this, some people in Sullivan may come to a saving knowledge of God. After this is over and they begin to clean up, It's our responsibility to go down and see what we can do to help them. Help somebody if they need to clean up their neighborhood. Maybe financial needs, if where they work got blown away and there's no income coming in. God takes care of us. I'm amazed at how God can supply in the absence of finances. Over and over and over again. I've told you before, I could stand up here for 2 hours and tell you things in my life, how God met my need financially, sometimes the very day that I needed it, sometimes a day ahead or a week ahead, but the finances are there. One of the things is God has broken down my wonder. I don't want as much as what I used to have. I want food, and I want my place to sleep. And other than that, I don't have much need in this life. I enjoy having a nice car, but if I had to get on a bicycle and ride around town on a bicycle, I would be just as happy if that was what God had for me. So delight ourselves in the Lord. A heart that is in tune with God will desire what He would want for us. Do you get that? If your heart's in tune with God, you want what God delivers to you. You're ready for it, you accept it, and you're pleased with it. We need to destroy our own roadmap for our life and only follow His. Destroy the roadmap. Most of us plan tomorrow and the next day and the next day. And as pastor, you know the pastor does that. But he does it at the wisdom of God. And if God changes circumstances that he can't do what he planned on doing, he doesn't fret. He doesn't worry. He doesn't throw up his hands and say, "What's going on?" He just goes with what God gives him. But generally, he's prayed and prayed and prayed over what he has planned and what he has prepared for, so that he's pretty confident as he begins and does it that this is God's will. And what we're seeing going on now in our 50th anniversary, this is not just what he thought of last week and thought, it would be good to put up some pictures like that. My guess would be months ago he had all of this planned day by day and week by week. We need to just let God have his way. His word becomes our roadmap. And we live by the Word of God and obedient to the Word of God. We do not even need to be the co-pilot of our lives. Just let the captain steer and let us be the passengers. Let God have control of your life. I hope He's got control of my life. And I want to get up each morning and walk in the path that He leads me to go. I want to cross paths with the people that He puts in my life. I want to be able to pass out cards with the gospel on the back of it to as many people. I put 5 of them in my shirt pocket each day. So nighttime, I can tell, "Joe, did you do a good job today, or did you do anything?" And some days I haven't done anything. Some days I come home empty and have to replenish. I think that's God's will. So, number one, trust in the Lord. Number two, delight ourselves in the Lord. Number three, commit our way unto the Lord. And number four, when we've done all that and have completed all that, we can rest in the Lord. Verse 7. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices, were to rest in the Lord. That means to have confidence, peace of mind, security. Boy, people that don't know if they're coming or going, what a wicked way to live a life. And not know if they were to die right now, would I go to heaven or would I go to hell? Listen, if I thought it was in debate right now, I would go somewhere, somehow, somebody, and find the way so that I can know what God's word says. And that's what we preach the gospel here, so that when people come, they may leave this church unsaved, but they'll never leave this church without the message of salvation on how to be saved and how to know that you're saved. And for those of us that have received it and believed it, and we've lived in it for 5, 10, 15, 60 years or whatever, we're confident in it. And we can rest in the Lord. We can trust Him so much that we can sometimes take a nap while He's steering our lives. What that means is, going through life, things may not always go the direction I want them to go, at the speed I want them to go to, and make the turns that I would be pleased to make the turns. God is the driver, I'm the passenger. I just want to go with Him. And when I do, I can rest in the Lord, because when He's driving, there will be no wreck. There will be no sideswipes. There will be no delays. There will be no running out of gas. He's got everything that's needed to get me from point A to point B on His time schedule. All I need to do is just follow, and I can rest in the Lord. This, however, does not mean that we should never seek God's face about matters, or that we should just sit back and do nothing. A lot of people have taken their Christian life like, well, I got my fire ticket out of hell now, and I'm going to heaven, so don't bother me anymore, God. I'll see you when that day comes, when the rapture comes or when death comes. But until then, Lord, just let me go. Let me do my thing. And there's no concern over the Lord, no concern about the Bible, no concern about your family and those that are around you, whether they're saved or lost. You just sit back in the thing and rest in a way that God didn't intend for us to rest. Because not only are we to rest in the Lord emotionally, but we're to work for the Lord physically. Work until the Lord comes. It does not mean that once I have sought His direction and know it to be His will, it does mean that once I have sought His direction and know it to be His will, I do not have to worry even when turbulent times come, because I know He is there and will lead me through whatever befalls me. I know He will come through. I'm on the winning side. I think, don't we sing that in here once in a while? Or do I hear it on the radio? I'm on the winning side. I'm on the winning side. Thank God. Boy, if America could be as concerned about being on the winning side of God as the winning side of basketball or football or baseball, that in eternity doesn't make any difference who win the championship, who loses it. Are you on the winning side? And then the fifth thing is this. In this day and age of hustle and bustle, we must learn to wait on the Lord. Verse 7, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Also verse 34, Wait on the Lord and keep his way, and he shall exalt thee to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, thou shalt see it. Wait on the Lord. Number one, we're to wait patiently. For some of us, that's probably one of the biggest expectations of God, to wait patiently. God, I want it, and I want it yesterday. That's pretty much how our prayer life goes, isn't it? Why haven't you done this, God? I've prayed for day after day after day, and you haven't done it. Wait on the Lord with patience. Give him time. He knows the perfect day to bring about whatever you're praying for. I've got people I've been praying for, some relatives and some friends and some neighbors that I pray every day or almost every day by name and say, Lord, please save this person. Put somebody in their life that will help them to come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And I'm not seeing it happen just day in, day out. It has happened in some, but I wait patiently and I just keep praying. We're to be patient. God may not even do it. He may answer some of our prayers even while we're in heaven with him. We can pray for it, but he knows the proper timing, the proper place, and he'll do it when the time is right. Remember, when you're waiting, that you are waiting on God. If we could see God face to face, and we do in the Word of God, but I mean, if he were the Lord Jesus Christ in body form standing before us, we would not be so demanding of him like we are where we can't see him and he's sort of abstract to us. That's why you need to have a fellowship with the Lord and to be close to him and to realize he is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. You are waiting on God. Pacing the floor and fretting shows our lack of faith in God. It's just some people's nature to do that. I don't know what it is. But fret not thyself. Turn your life over to him and then trust, delight, commit, and rest, and then wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. When you do that, your Christian life becomes exciting because what you're anticipating may not happen for a day or a week or even a year, but when it happens, you say, thank you, Lord. Thank you. I've been expecting that. I've been praying for that. And Lord, you brought it about. Thank you. I'm going to close with this thought. I'm going to have a lot of time to fellowship this morning. God only wants for us what we would want for ourselves if we were smart enough to want it. And let me say that again. God only wants for us what we would want for ourselves if we were smart enough to want it. In other words, if we could see life through the eyes of God, we could do this. We could trust, delight, commit, rest, and wait on the Lord. Father, dismiss us now with your blessings. Guide and direct in the service to come. Be with the pastor. Give him extra physical strength today to be able to preach today and again tonight. And Lord, may they be messages that would touch our heart and draw us closer to Christ and make us more like him. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.